This is DW News live from Berlin. The IMF says the Omicron variant could threaten the global economic recovery from the pandemic. Worries grow as Omicron spreads rapidly in South Africa, even though the WHO says it has not been able to link the new variant to any deaths. Also coming up, Olaf Scholz moves closer to becoming Germany's new leader. His Social Democrats are set to give their backing to a deal that would see him lead a coalition with two smaller parties. And a warning from the White House. US President Joe Biden tells Russia there will be a tough response if it invades Ukraine. Ukrainian forces say they're ready to drive back any Russian threat. I'm Manuel Coopers-McKinnon. Thanks so much for joining us. The International Monetary Fund is warning that the new Omicron coronavirus variant is likely to delay the global economic recovery from the pandemic. The fund is expecting to downgrade its forecasts for world growth this year and next. That's even though the World Health Organization says it has no evidence yet of any deaths connected to Omicron. The new variant is spreading rapidly in many countries. South Africa, in particular, is seeing an alarming wave of infections. More young children are being hospitalised, and authorities are concerned that people who've already had COVID-19 are being reinfected.
Healthcare workers in South Africa have had their hands full since scientists there first detected the Omicron variant last week, and it's been found across South Africa.
We are also now experiencing such a rapid surge in case numbers that it is actually quite frightening. I am moderately confident that the country will be able to cope. On the other hand, the rapidly increasing numbers are a nasty surprise, and I wonder what the future holds for us.
Just a quarter of the population have been fully vaccinated. But it's not clear yet how far the current vaccines protect against an infection with Omicron.
We are seeing a lot of breakthrough infections in vaccinees, which is, of course, a worry. We are also seeing reinfections in people who had previously been infected during one of the previous waves. But the majority of infections so far are mild. That said, we have to say that it's still early days, and as we know, to become clinically severe, they will have to be 10 to 14 days or more after becoming infected. So it's probably too early to tell.
South Africa's public health authorities warn that more children and young adults are being hospitalized with the coronavirus. Many countries have placed new restrictions on travelers from South Africa and even shut borders. And the scientists who alerted the world to the Omicron variant are facing a backlash at home.
But critics within the country that is now very hard hit by all these travel bans, they are blaming us, the scientists, for actually doing sequencing and sharing our results, which I think is quite misguided.
Face masks are mandatory. And there are limits on the number of people who can attend indoor and outdoor gatherings. But Omicron continues its invisible race across South Africa.
And for more, we can speak to journalist and molecular biologist Kai Kupferschmidt, who joins us from here in Berlin. It's good to have you on the program again. Now, scientists say the Omicron variant is spreading more than twice as quickly as the Delta variant we just heard there. More kids are being hospitalized. How worried do we really need to be?
Well, I think so. Scientists are still trying to get a clearer picture of what exactly Omicron has in store. Imagine a big puzzle and we're only just getting the first puzzle pieces, but certainly those first puzzle pieces, all add to the concern. We now have some preliminary data that shows that this virus can in fact reinfect people, certainly people who've gone through an infection before and recovered. And it does seem to be spreading very fast, though that's always very hard to tell in the early days whether there are, you know, certain super spreading events, for instance, that make it appear to be spreading faster than it actually will in the long run. But certainly, I think if we've learned anything from the last 2 years is that in a situation like this, you know, we should rather act fast and be worried right now and then, you know, breathe a sigh of relief if it doesn't turn out to be as bad.
Right. Now, the World Health Organization is saying that it has no evidence of any deaths linked to Omicron. Yet countries are racing to impose stricter pandemic measures. Travel bans are in place. Would you say all of these restrictions are an overreaction?
So I don't think it's an overreaction. I do think that travel bans, you know, you have to be very careful about what you do with travel bans. All they do is buy you a little bit of time, and they only make sense for a very short time, because once the virus spreads, you know, wide in your own communities anyway, it doesn't really make sense to impose them. And they have a, you know, fairly big cost attached to them. So, but the fact that we haven't seen any deaths so far in South Africa from Omicron doesn't really tell us that much yet, because it's still really early days. We know that it takes, you know, 2 weeks for people once they go to the hospital and then for deaths actually to be reported. So I think at the moment I wouldn't read too much into it. I mean, we're all kind of hoping that maybe, you know, it does turn out to be a milder variant that spreads fast but is milder. But we really can't say that at the moment. And we certainly shouldn't pin our hopes on that and not act and prepare.
OK, so obviously there's a lot more to learn about this variant. But, of course, Omicron is the latest in a string of coronavirus mutations since the start of the pandemic. Do we need to prepare ourselves for a potentially never-ending series of new mutations? Or, you know, is there anything that governments around the world could be doing better to try and bring this to an end?
Well, what's very clear is that as long as this virus can spread in this, you know, huge amount of people that it is spreading in at the moment, mutations will keep arising. And some of those mutations will give this virus advantages, whether in transmissibility or in reinfecting people. It might get around vaccine immunity. And that's just something that we have to live with unless we really try to do the hard work of suppressing the numbers. I mean, we do have some experience with a virus that keeps changing. That's the flu. And of course, it might very well be that this turns into a virus that stays with us. That's certainly what it looks like, that SARS-CoV-2 will be with us for the long run. But even then, we are going to have to do the hard work of making sure that we're prepared for every season when it comes and just hope that it does indeed over time become a little bit milder. But that's by no means a given.
All right. Kai Kupfer-Schmidt, as ever, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's take a look now at some of the other stories making headlines around the world. Polls have opened in Gambia for the first presidential election in nearly 30 years without former dictator Yahya Jammeh contesting them. The election is seen as a stress test for the country's burgeoning democracy. Voters make their choice by casting a marble in their preferred candidate's drum. A vigil has been held for the victims of the school shooting in the U.S. state of Michigan. A teenager went on a gun rampage there on Tuesday, killing four students. The suspect's parents have been arrested on manslaughter charges. They're accused of ignoring warning signs before the shooting. And Pope Francis has arrived in Greece for the first papal visit in two decades. He's seeking to improve relations with the Orthodox Church and also highlight the plight of the thousands of refugees and asylum seekers in the country. Now, Germany looks set to have a new government 2 months after September's general election. The centre-left Social Democratic Party is due to vote on the coalition deal, its leaders sealed with the environmentalist Green Party and the business-focused Free Democrats. Now, the agreement unveiled last week includes policies that promise more climate protection and support for low-income households. Under the deal, SPD leader Olaf Scholz is set to become the country's next chancellor. He could be sworn in as soon as Wednesday, replacing Angela Merkel after 16 years. And we can cross straight to DW political correspondent Nina Haase, who's at that crucial SPD party congress. Hi, Nina. Is there likely to be any dispute at all over the proposed coalition agreement or Olaf Scholz becoming the new chancellor?
Well, Olaf Scholz will probably get a yes from the 600-plus SPD delegates who are going to vote on the coalition treaty today. The SPD does want to lead this new government. The party wants to see Olaf Scholz as the next chancellor. But, of course, the party also had to make some concessions in the negotiations with its partners, the Greens and the business-friendly FDP, above all with them. And so those concessions, those crucial compromises, they will be criticised by some of the delegates. That's to be expected. But overall, it's going to be a resounding yes because, of course, the SPD says Olaf Scholz has to become the next chancellor.
You've mentioned the differences between the parties. Obviously, this coalition deal will bring together political parties from opposite ends of the political spectrum. How stable can a coalition like this really be?
Well, those are three very different partners indeed. The Social Democrats, the oldest party here in Germany, and then the Greens, a sort of a far-left party, and then the very business-focused FDP. But what they've done over those last few weeks of negotiations is that they have built up trust between themselves, and they have also identified some core projects that unite them all and that they want to bring forward, where they say that the Conservatives under Angela Merkel really dragged their feet and blocked some of the progress that was necessary here in Germany. So the big question is going to be, can this coalition government actually focus on those pet projects? Because then it would make the country more liberal and more digital. That's something that unites all these partners. But the big question is just how long will it take to fight the pandemic? Because that is the core job that this new government is going to have to take on. And it will probably not leave much time for any other projects on the side.
That's right. Now, if all goes according to plan, Olaf Scholz will be sworn in as Chancellor next Wednesday. He'll obviously have a long to-do list. Will the pandemic be top of that list?
It will definitely have to be. The new government is not yet in office, and yet they're already having to make crucial decisions. Olaf Scholz has already spoken out in favour of making vaccinations mandatory, so that is to be expected here in Germany for February. There is a big discussion going on at the moment, and this transition period really saw this new coalition government that wasn't yet in power having to make crucial frameworks also for fighting the pandemic. So that is going to be the core priority. And then, of course, Olaf Scholz has to keep the coalition itself stable.
DW correspondent Nina Hase, thank you so much. US President Joe Biden says that he is working to prevent Russia from invading Ukraine. There are fears a border standoff between the two nations could escalate into warfare. The US has threatened Russia with the toughest sanctions yet if it does launch an attack.
Ukrainian soldiers preparing for the worst as they hunch in the trenches along the border. They are ready to fight to protect their country from an assault by Russian forces.
Yes, I think all our guys will hold them back. We will do it. This is our job. This is our land, and we will protect it till the end.
Tensions between the two neighbors have been rising for months. Ukraine says Russia has massed nearly 100,000 troops on the frontier, and it's worried.
Our intelligence service analysed all scenarios, including the worst ones. There is a probability of a large-scale escalation on the part of Russia, most probably at the end of January.
In an attempt to defuse the tension, US Secretary of State Antony Blinken has been meeting Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. US President Joe Biden is also drawing up an action plan to limit Moscow's room for maneuver.
What I am doing is putting together what I believe to be will be the most comprehensive and meaningful set of initiatives to make it very, very difficult for Mr. Putin to go ahead and do what people are worried he may do.
Russia seized Crimea from Ukraine in 2014 and has since backed separatists fighting Kiev in eastern Ukraine. The conflict has killed more than 13,000. Russia denies it's planning an attack, but for these Ukrainian soldiers, the threat feels all too real.
You are up to date.